When someone mentions a salad, is your first thought iceberg lettuce with hunks of vegetables too large to eat? Most people, I suppose, think of leafy greens when they think of salad. That's not wrong, and it seems to make sense. There is so much more to salad than lettuce, and no discussion of salad is complete without talking about dressings. Do you eat salads? Do you buy dressing in the grocery store? No doubt you are as pressed for time as everyone else. Dressings are pretty easy to make, and salads are almost infinite in combinations of ingredients and flavors. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 277, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Hello, folks. Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the Escoffier series. Two certified master chefs help train and teach me the classical ways of cooking. For some 20 years or so, I cooked using sound cooking fundamentals, taught sound cooking fundamentals at a culinary school, and wrote two books about it, one a cookbook and one a book about being a chef. Now, I'm sharing that with you. I've mentioned in some previous Escoffier series episodes that classical French cooking is thought of as almost unapproachable, cooking for the elite, by the elite, so to speak. Now, in a way, who does the cooking is not wrong. How it is right is the skill and attention to craft necessary to do the job well is required as a high skill. If you played basketball in high school, it is rare indeed that you'd pick up with the pros and be equal. Rest in peace, Kobe. Classical French cooking is part of a culture not much longer around, but people who enjoy a thing well done and can pay for it would like to have those things. The last point I want to make before we get into salads and dressings is from Escoffier's foreword from the first edition. He writes, quote, "I have no pretensions that this guide is exhaustive. Even if it were today, it would no longer be so tomorrow because progress marches on and each day brings forth new recipes and new methods," end quote. Indeed. In 122 years, the amount of new foods to cook and eat is staggering. The dressings he mentions can be altered, and he would probably be the first to encourage that and approve. There are two main types of salads, simple salads and composed salads. Simple salads include that mixed greens salad you get when you dine out. They include more, and we'll get to that. Composed salads are what the name suggests. Items are placed on a plate in a fashion, dressed and garnished. They can be ornate or can be simple. In some cases, a leaf lettuce salad is a composed salad. The infamous chef's salad, the Cobb salad, and the Niçoise salad are three examples. Already we have forks in the road, simple salad and composed salads. In the composed category, Escoffier adds mayonnaise salads. Macaroni salad, pasta salad, egg salad, tuna salad are all composed, even if they aren't pretty, and suitable for dinner or at least a substantial portion of dinner with a main course. We might be able to sneak coleslaw into the composed salad category. Now, if the thought of pasta salad and macaroni salad and egg salad and tuna salad as a accompaniment for dinner makes you think of football, well, then, or at least a barbecue picnic, I think we're on the right course. In both cases, simple and composed salads, the dressing can serve either one. Or serves both. There aren't dressings only for composed salads. Now, perhaps the most famous dressing ever, and probably perfected by the French, is the vinaigrette. Properly made, it has only 4 ingredients, is never emulsified, and is fantastic. Vinegar, oil, salt, and pepper. Now, variety comes to that dressing by the choice of vinegar and oil, and in some small effect, the choice of salt and pepper. The traditional ratio for a vinaigrette is 3-1, 3 parts oil to 1 part vinegar. A lot of vinegars these days are very harsh, too acidic. I've found many times 4-1, 4 oil to 1 vinegar is necessary to tame the acid enough to enjoy eating the salad. Salt change mostly is in the smoked or not smoked version of salts. Various small batch salts have distinct flavors, no doubt. I've not tested enough to know if the small amount used in a vinaigrette will give a nice sea aroma to the dressing. Now, pepper is chiefly black or white. Aside from preferring the aesthetic of white pepper on a white salad, say hearts of palm, so the black might look like sand, the flavor is different between them, but again, in a vinaigrette, there's so little pepper, it might not really make that much difference. Now, there is also green peppercorns, which we've avoided for this episode, but that could be an addition to your vinaigrette. That would actually be really interesting on a steak salad. Cream dressing is interesting, and I've never made it. I'll fix that. Cream dressing is made with heavy cream, 3 parts heavy cream to 1 part vinegar, or, as Escoffier says, better yet, lemon juice. Acid is well known to curdle milk when it is heated to about 180 degrees. No worries here, since we're going to keep it cold. Escoffier mentions that cream dressing is a good dressing for cabbage or young lettuces. There are 2 more I'll mention of the 6 dressings he lists. The first is mustard and cream dressing. Now, in his book, he makes a new cream dressing to add the mustard to it. That's fine, but we could make cream dressing and have it on hand, and then make a small batch of mustard cream dressing anytime we wanted it. This is where your own preferences and personality come into play in making the food that you want to eat. He adds a couple of teaspoons to a cup, well, just shy of a cup, he's metric. But I kind of like a more robust mustard flavor in my dressing, so I would add more. I'm particularly fond of either whole grain or coarse grain mustards, partly because I think they look nice. I like that different colored look, but I also like to get the texture of that mustard seed and sometimes bite into it and you get a little like, ooh, a little bit of a mustard more. That's good. Escoffier identifies beetroot or celeriac, which can also be called celery root, as 2 good vegetables for this dressing. The other dressing is mayonnaise. Now, classic mayonnaise is made with egg yolks, oil, a bit of vinegar or lemon juice, and salt. I've found that mustard is a useful additional ingredient to help the emulsification and to add flavor. And as it happens, either dry mustard powder or any version of prepared mustard does the same thing. The Escoffier's kind of mayonnaise is made in a mixer, and the oil is drizzled in very slowly while the whisk goes at a moderate rate. Now, you can find YouTube videos about how to do this. What is also possible is a whole egg mayonnaise made with an immersion blender, and those are quick and yummy. And that would be you put all of your ingredients. I have a recipe on my desk and I can't find it instantly. A cup of oil, 1 egg, a little bit of mustard, salt, pepper, the acid, either vinegar or lemon juice, and put your immersion blender in there and just zip it right up. And in mere seconds, you have an emulsified mayonnaise. And it's just like this. So the nice thing about that is you don't get all the junk that you get in the commercial mayonnaise, the bad oil, the added sugar, and who knows what else is in there. A few points about simple salads. Less dressing is generally better than more, regardless of the type. Most vegetables make excellent additions to simple salads, or by themselves as simple salads. Beets are better baked than boiled, and when cool, and also wrapped in foil to help, they sort of steam, not bake, when cool enough to hold, peeled and cut into juliennes. While the beet is still warm and not too hot to handle, add it to a dressing so as the beet cools, it draws in the flavor of the dressing. It also draws the dressing in. Cauliflower and pearl onions and celery hearts and potatoes and sliced carrots and mushrooms and on are all suitable vegetables to cook nearly all the way. In the case of mushrooms, I'd cook all the way. Just most of them slightly underdone. Don't shock them in the cold water and add them to the dressing to make an amazing salad or a component to a salad. Now, my proclivities on mushrooms are just that I don't like raw mushrooms. I've tried to like them and it never really took. So, but cooked mushrooms, well, boy, I'm there. Some vegetables can be marinated in dressing for a few hours. Coleslaw is maybe the most well-known example. Now, I'm a big coleslaw fan with homemade dressing. And coleslaw comes in a couple of things. You can get that chopped version where it's all, I think there's a popular chicken chain named after Southern State that does a version of that it's whatever. It's also ridiculously sweet. I like the long, thin shreds, and I like a mayonnaise-based dressing. And again, the problem with the commercial version of coleslaw dressing is it's like a freaking candy bar. It's obscene how much sugar is in there. So I add just a little teeny bit of sugar because I know what the sugar does to the water on the anyway. But very, very little sugar. One salad I want to mention particularly is a celeriac salad, and as Coffee mentions this in his book. Now, celeriac is a funny looking root. If you let it grow or let it sit, it will produce a celery looking stalk. But the celery you buy for Thanksgiving to make dressing / stuffing isn't the same celery. The celery root is grown mostly for its root. It can look a little hairy. It's mostly round with some divots and crinks and creases and things. It smells like celery. You definitely want to peel it. You want to give it a good bath because sometimes it can have dirt hiding in little places. But once you get in there, it's white-ish, maybe ivory colored, maybe slightly yellowish, with veins of other deeper color into it. But so it can be eaten raw or cooked, and it's really good cooked. It's like cutting a squash. It's a really hard root. So it can, sometimes the knife can have a mind of its own. So you want to be careful cutting it. For a marinated salad, if you have a mandolin or, no, it would work. I just thought of this. A box grater, that's actually a really good idea. Box grate that like you would make for hash browns, but use the celery part instead. And then, wow, dress that. I got to try this. Give it a shot. If you don't like celery, then you're not going to like this. But it's one of my favorite vegetables. And I'm the only one here who likes it. So we don't have it too often because I have to buy food that everyone will eat. One last quick procedure. If you grow cukes in the summer and leave the skins on, if you buy them from the store, peel them because they wax them and the wax doesn't come off. If you grow your own, you want to peel them, that's fine too. Slice them thin, salt them to draw out some of the water, drain the water, then add a vinaigrette with a bit of chervil or tarragon. In a salad like this, dried chervil, it has nearly no flavor at all. Dried tarragon has flavor. It'll work, but fresh tarragon is far superior. Fresh chervil is also far superior. Chervil is a tasty herb, the mildest flavor of licorice / anise. It's both very delicate in the sun. It doesn't like a lot of sun. It's a very tender herb, but my goodness, it's wonderful. It's fantastic, but it's kind of fickle, hard to find, and a bit of a challenge to grow, but worth doing. I've also made this cucumber salad with a bit of sour cream and fresh chives. Dried chives would work. My chief complaint with dried chives is that it looks like they were cut with a chainsaw. They aren't beautiful or delicate. They work good in dressings, like a mayonnaise-based dressing. If you make your own ranch, or if you make your own blue cheese, or any other dressing that would take chives, I do add dry herbs to my dressings because they go bad not as fast. Fresh herbs will go bad pretty quickly in a dressing, and you don't necessarily always go through a whole quarter of ranch dressing quickly, so dry herbs make it last longer. Composed salads have nearly as many possibilities as simple salads. Now, one addition Escoffier mentions is the use of cold rice, you could also use pasta, bound with a vinaigrette, pasta may be a mayonnaise, pressed into a mold and tipped out onto a platter. Now, the rice would have, in addition to the vinaigrette, and vinaigrette with maybe a potent vinegar, because it's got to stretch through the rice. You can add small, maybe brunoise, which is 1/8 inch cube, of cooked vegetables to it for color and for flavor and for a little bit of texture difference. Tip that mold of something farinaceous onto the plate, and then put your various marinated ingredient vegetables around. So a little bit of carrots, a little bit of spring onions, maybe you have baby leeks that grow wild in a couple of months where you live, artichokes, mushrooms, celeriac, beets, composed around so it looks nice. A composed salad doesn't need to be complicated or ornate. A platter of perfectly ripe tomatoes dressed with a light vinaigrette is a composed salad. Now, I want to discuss vinegar for a moment. I mentioned that most of them are harsh. Rice wine vinegar is less harsh. There's a few, now by brand I don't know, it seems to me really they taste all the same. They just taste like battery acid. They feel like battery acid. They feel very, very, very low, low pH. And that it isn't pleasant. Rice wine vinegar is a really nice choice of acid for a vinaigrette because it has nearly no flavor of its own, which means that it will accept flavors given to it and it won't mask anything that's in there, especially if you add delicate flavors to it. The smallest and most reasonable amount of vinaigrette to make is 1/4 cup, 1 tablespoon of vinegar and 3 tablespoons of oil. If the vinegar is too harsh, add a dribble of water. Vinegar is, in essence, water, and that will help cut some of the acid. And since this isn't going to be an emulsified dressing anyway, your vinegar, oil, salt, pepper, you can add garnishes into it like chives. You could add mustard. Mustard is an emulsifier. Depending how much you add, I can't say that it will or will not emulsify that wee amount of vinaigrette, but it does add nice flavor. So we talked about vinegars a little bit, with a note about oils. Making a vinaigrette without the popular seed or so-called vegetable oils seems pretty challenging. Some seed oils are worse than others. Nut oils are good for flavor. They are also go rancid pretty quickly and are pretty spendy. Avocado oil isn't terrible. Canola oil is terrible. If you can eat it, peanut oil is a good oil for dressings. It's very mild in flavor. It's gone up a lot. A gallon, I just bought a gallon for the fryer, and it went up a lot. It's nearly $20. I'm like, oh my. Sticker shock in the oil aisle. But extra virgin olive oil is a suitable oil for vinaigrettes, but because extra virgin olive oil is very potent, you kind of have to pick what's going to be complementary. Something that it plays nice with. Roast peppers would be a good example. Tomatoes would be a good example that extra virgin olive oil flavor would go well with some of those things. I can't think of an example right now where it wouldn't, but I'm sure there is something. Potatoes, maybe. Just something about that doesn't. Extra virgin olive oil and hot potatoes sounds fantastic. For cold, I'd have to try it. I'm not convinced just yet. So flavor, contrast, and compatibility. Just mentioned that. That does come into play on salads. I just mentioned potatoes. Potatoes make great salads. Potato salad. They are a very good canvas for flavors, and potato salads can vary wildly. Some of you may be familiar with the hot version of a German potato salad. Vinegary, not too bad, but it's a good salad. I like it. A little bit more effort to make than a cold potato salad, but still very good. Potatoes also tend to support mustards and high acid vinegars, also with tender herbs, which seems kind of ironic. Beets, too, can take bold flavors and delicate herbs, like the previously mentioned chervil or tarragon, parsley, chives, would also work. There is also a technique we used to use at the Governor's Club. Blanch the vegetables. We did both cauliflower and pearl onions. And when they are nearly done, lift them out, don't cool them, and add them to a pickle juice. Now, as it cools, the vegetable cools, it absorbs that pickle juice flavor, and then you have a nice little quasi-pickled component to add to salads. Now, for the cauliflower, you could use saffron or turmeric. Similar in color with very different flavors, but it makes a really nice aesthetic on that cauliflower because just the yellow is really stunning. And both, so depending on what your finished salad's going to be, or maybe you're just eating the whole jar by itself, turmeric would be a good flavor. It's, wow, you could add ginger to that and get, wow, that's a good idea. That would be a whole flavor theme thing there. We did make, for the pearl onions, we made our own pickling juice, which was really high in red pepper, no, wrong word, black pepper flavor, red wine vinegar, bay leaf, and thyme, just so that the onions had partly that little bit of that color. They were kind of pinkish. that's kind of cute. But really good flavor. Really nice and tasty. So this is just the beginning of what's possible with dressings and salads. There's a career to be made. There's books to be written by somebody else about salads and dressings. With planting season coming, maybe plan your garden around the kinds of salads you want to make. If you make pickled cauliflower or pearl onions or the Mid-Atlantic classic chow chow, you can can those for year-round use. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll add this text to the show notes page. I'll also add a link to Escoffier's book on Amazon and a link to my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort, also found on Amazon. Now, we're almost done with this book. We have 6 more chapters to go, and some will get more attention than others, but we're almost there. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.